Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Pop a la Carte episode 66. I'm Tatiana, and I'm here with
Angela
and Catherine.
And we've got not that many topics today, since we don't have Valerie, and she usually keeps us abreast of happenings. But
we miss you.
Yes, we do. We do miss you, Valerie. We'll see you or hear you again soon. But we do have a couple of important things, or one specifically important thing, which is Stan Lee has just passed away. Yeah. So we have to, you know, pay tribute to him and to the global entertainment empire that he created. And we're also going to talk a little bit about Doctor Who versus history, because apparently some people are mad that it is giving them history lessons. They don't like learning. And then after that, Catherine and I will share our experience at Variety's 10 to Watch and the Newport Beach Film Festival, which we were invited to yesterday. We got to talk to a couple of really cool actors. And Angela will, of course, start us off with our K-drama corner, because we always have K-drama feelings. And this week, we have forever boyfriends and girlfriends that we want to discuss. And then finally, Catherine will introduce her love of Broadway to us, as well as say goodbye to certain veterans who are leaving their respective place. So, with all that said, let's just start. You know, we just heard about Stan Lee right before we started recording this podcast. So, you know, like, how are you guys feeling?
Yeah. Oh, boy. I saw TMZ's report, and, like, for the past, I guess, 20, 30 minutes, I was like, I am waiting until I hear from his family attorney. Because they've been wrong sometimes, and with rumor mill and the developing stories, you never know what has been true, and you've seen people pull back articles before, so I just wanted to wait until that official, and AP, the Associated Press, has confirmed that his family attorney has said that he has passed away today at 95.
Oops. It's so sad, and it's kind of, like, surprising, too. Like, I know that he had had some health issues earlier this year, but it had felt like, you know, like, because it quiets down for a while, so you feel like you're, like, past that, but...
Yeah. He actually, the TMZ report that everybody has kind of been referring to said that he was put into the hospital this morning, and normally when, you know, we see stars at that age go into the hospital, most of the time they don't make it out. I wish he had Ruth Bader's case and kind of went back to work the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's hard emotions right now.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's fairly sad, but at the same time, you know, like, at least we can admire, like, all that he's done and, like, how, like, he lived a very long and fruitful life, you know, still. Mm-hmm. And his wife had passed away, was it earlier this year, at the end of last year?
Yeah.
So it's like
about, it still hasn't been that long of a gap between.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was like, you know, not like it's always the case, but a lot of times, you know, like when like older couples, when they've been together a very long time, it's like it's harder to go on without the other person. So
yeah, especially if you've had that really close bond like the way that they both have.
Yeah.
You know, especially we saw it with Carrie and Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just heartbreak and all of his illnesses catching up to him, and you know the mental strain that he's been put under by all like the financial burdens of everybody going after him. So he's been through a lot.
Yeah.
The past like couple of years, and so it's unfortunate, but
yeah,
thank you, Stan.
Yes, thank you for what you created and also or co-created, and you know, and it's almost in the way it's like he was preparing too, because like he had filmed several cameos in advance.
Yeah,
because he knew that soon he would not be able to film cameos, so.
And he was also, I think, trying to go, because he was really well-known to go through the convention circuit, and he was trying to do so many appearances as he possibly can, because he generally, I haven't met him, but I know he generally loves doing that kind of things with fan interactions, and so he was trying to do that, and I guess it kind of made him feel sadder when he had to tell everybody that he had to stop doing that, because his health was just ailing so fast.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you'd like to say, Angela, or do you would like to go to the next topic?
Not really. I just, you know, I know who he is, and I watch the comic book movies, but I watch a lot of cartoons. That's the thing, like, I mean, I really loved the X-Men cartoon growing up, so that was ultimately him.
Yeah.
I mean, not directly, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But I feel like I never followed him as a figure very much.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Link, rest easy, Excelsior. We'll see you soon.
Yeah. So, we've all, I think the three of us have been enjoying Doctor Who this season so far, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. We've all been effusive at different points. Catherine's got her reviews, and Angela and I have talked about it on the podcast before. But it turns out, at least after this latest episode, there have been like mixed reactions. Like several people or outlets have been like complaining about the increased level of like focus on history.
No, I'd say I saw that too.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that? What do you guys think about the way that Doctor Who is introducing historical lessons currently, and also about the fact that people are mad about it?
I mean, is it really any outlets? I haven't seen any major publications complaining about it. So I think it's just, like,
Twitter storm.
Yeah. And I do feel that, like, I mean, that's the thing with the internet. You're going to find somebody who hates anything. And so at least I don't feel like it's been an overwhelmingly large portion, at least.
Right.
That's good. But those people who are complaining can go away.
They should go back and rewatch Classic Who, because it was a children's show designed to teach kids about history. So you should watch Classic Who if you're complaining.
And yeah. I do just really wonder if, I mean, it wasn't like Doctor Who never, like, knew who, never had historical episodes. Like, maybe there were more episodes in between them. Maybe, like, I don't know. But, like, how many of these people would still be complaining if it was all British history?
Right. And it's not, I mean, to be fair, like, even, like, last week was I'm not going to say a filler episode, but it was not a historical lesson, right? We were visiting, like, yeah, aliens on a ship.
Yeah, like, back to the sci-fi. Apparently it's, like, they want sci-fi effort. Like, they just want to see, like, the sci-fi part of it. And so I'm like, well, we got that sci-fi episode.
Yeah.
You gotta mix things up a little bit.
There's one next week. The one, the spiders one, was kind of sci-fi.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what the problem is. And yeah, I feel like if it was, like, running around in medieval England or whatever, they wouldn't be complaining so much. I think they just don't like the Doctor who's trying to teach them something.
And I'm like, if you think about it, we've had episodes, like, with Vincent van Gogh, and we've had episodes like Pompeii that have gone back into history before.
Yeah.
So it's not new.
Right. I think that I'm betting that the real issue with the fans who are complaining about it is that the history that it's dealing with is the history of division, the history of, like, racial, you know, aggression and religious aggression in the case of this episode. Which I was totally wrong. Yeah. When I first had heard about the episode, I thought it was going to be about, like, British, like, colonialism in India, but instead it was about the partition of India and Pakistan. So, it was not correct, but that still is about, like, a religious divide, you know? Like, even when two groups of people, which is really, really, like, one group of people, were so closely linked as the Hindus and the Muslims were, you know, because of their faiths, they literally divided the country. And then, you know, literally set brother against brother. So.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what people don't like.
Oh, I was with you, Tatiana. Like, I thought they were going to be like, well, they came after U.S. Racism. They're going to come after, you know, British racism now and imperialism. And we watched the episode and John's like, I mean, it wasn't entirely Britain's fault after we watched it. And I was like, well, yeah, like, that isn't and what the episode ended up being about. But I was like, but it didn't, Britain didn't help. They didn't make it better. They, like, still did a bad thing. So yeah, it's probably why people are upset. They're just like,
yeah,
we don't want to teach you something. We don't want to face that kind of stuff. And I was, because then when the credits for next week rolled, or the preview, I was like, now that are they coming after, like, capitalism next?
Right.
I was like, I love this. Give me more of this. And this was the first episode that Chris Chibnall was not attributed at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he didn't write this one at all. I didn't notice that. Who wrote it?
I forget. But I remember being like, that's not Chris Chibnall.
Okay. At the same time, like, I wouldn't want to say, like, oh, it's just a couple of, like, weirdos or just a couple of, like, fans or extremists or whatever that don't like it. Because I think that something that we often fall into, like, because on the one hand, I don't like that people write about, put so much focus on the people that don't like it. But at the same time, you have to, so that you're aware of how many people think that they're being centrist, right, to use language from Supergirl's episode last night because it's on my mind, but think that they're being centrist when really they're being extremist in wanting to shield children from racism, you know, while also teaching it to them, if that makes sense.
You know, I've had this conversation with, because, you know, my daughter's five, and so like a year ago, I had this conversation with a couple friends of mine, just talking about, like, as we're trying to figure out how to teach our kids about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my one friend was like, oh, I just, you know, it's hard. I don't know that she's ready for it. And I was like, black five-year-olds, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Black four-year-olds, no. It's not about child development. Like, their brains can handle it.
Yeah.
Like.
Even when it's not, like, anytime that I'm in a conversation with a child, if they ever say anything that's, like, that I can remotely relate to any kind of ism, I'm like, oh, but you know, blah, 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 right? Like, or like, oh, no, he won't like that. He's a boy. And I'm like, oh, you know that boys can like anything, right? Like, there's no reason why you can't like Transformers. There's a reason why he can't like My Little Pony. And also, there's no reason, you know. I was like, listen.
I get so exasperated at me when I'm like that. But on the other hand, I'm seeing like that payoff as well in the like way that she doesn't care. Like, when she wants us all to be royals, if I pick being the prince or John picks being the queen, she doesn't really like. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, victory! But usually when you're trying to teach, I've noticed for, like, the white kids, when you're trying to teach them early about racism and you talk about, like, the way people are treated, one of their first reactions is to, like, be glad that they won't be treated that way because they're white. And I'm like, oh, God. Like,
yeah, I won't, you can go from there, right? You're like, doesn't it make you sad that, others are...
Yeah, no, it's like, they recognize privilege from a very early age.
Yeah, see, exactly. They can, exactly. Like, they don't, it's just, it's one of those, like, you're lying there in bed with them with something like that, and you're like, I am not prepared at this very moment to deal with this.
Right.
But, no, they can totally recognize, and so, and that's just the thing with Doctor Who, like, I wish that, I mean, part of me wanted to, like, show her the Rosa episode, or get her into Doctor Who, like, altogether, yeah. And actually, like, the second episode I was watching and she was kind of starting to pay attention. I was getting excited because I was like, I want Jodie Whittaker to be your doctor.
Oh.
But then I think she'd be like scared too much for most of Doctor Who. So like, I don't know, based on like the way that I see even parts of My Little Pony freak her out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the library and got some more books. Talk about racism. So I was like, all right, we'll do it this way. Okay. But I think it's good. I will say pre-K programming is really great when you start to get a little bit older for kids. And that's why I think it's so great that Doctor Who, because when you're talking about programming designed for kids ages like 2 to 5 or 6,
mm-hmm.
it's much more diverse. It talks more about a lot of stuff that
yeah.
starts to go away. Because I think it's when we still think of television as educational for like...
Mm-hmm.
preschool age, but then when they get like school age, we tend not to like think television should be educational anymore.
Right, which doesn't make sense. Like, I've never understood that. Like, to me, I'm like, I feel like media or like story should always have educate you on something. You know, it should always be telling you about something.
Yeah,
even if it's not like literally math. Like,
find diversity in children's programming yeah. really young than when you're starting to get older. I would say it's still not like super easy, but it's easier than when you're looking older mm-hmm. in my experience with her so far. But so
what shows does she like? Like, is there anything that she's like grappled on?
Which is from Nickelodeon. And that one is really like a holy grail to me because
which one from Nickelodeon?
Like, a girl and she's a princess. Nella, the Princess Knight.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to sing a song for you. Like, I can hear the song starting to go over my head. That one's really great because, like, on the while, it's really important to show fantastical settings that aren't just all Western, that at the end of the day, in our, like, we still think of, like, the ultimate fairy tale is that European setting and the heroes are always, like, white, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so Nella the Princess Knight takes that, like, quote-unquote European setting, but it's very basic. It's like preschool level, right? But it takes that, and then the royal family is black. And so she's a princess and a knight, and she's like... So that's cool. She likes that. She likes... when we had Hulu, we don't have Hulu again. I go back and forth. Oh, Doc McStuffins.
Nice.
Is great, obviously. Uh-huh. And...
Oh yeah, I've seen a lot of that one. It looks really, really cute.
Her favorite show is My Little Pony, and they're all ponies, so there's nothing there.
but friendship is magic. That's important.
Yeah. It is. I mean, there's one pony that's like a zebra, and she does, like, that one might be a little bit of exoticism. She's only in a couple episodes, so it's been hard for me to, like, get a grasp on what's going on with the zebra.
Oh. What are you telling me, zebra?
There's another, Nina's World on Hulu. That one, I think, I'm saying a lot, but I think she might be Afro-Latina.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's a lot of Spanish in it, but, like, she's darker skin. So she likes that one. And I do a lot of research, like, and spend a lot of time at the library trying to find her books with, like, a variety of heroes, which is hard. Because it's white kids and then animals. I've seen, like, this numbers. It's, like, white children, animals, and then, like, children of other races. Our librarians are awesome, and they pull those books out a lot. And it turns out that Bell Hooks writes children's books, which is really cool.
Oh.
I learned that thanks to our library, so.
So we're going to title this podcast, Recommendations for Your Children, from Angela.
And we talk about stuff. I was so proud of her when we were getting, because we're getting rid of books for the move.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm being really harsh about it, like, with myself, even. I'm like, look, we have our house is overflowing, and, like, we got to just do this. And so when she was going through her books, if she wanted to get rid of something, even if I wanted to keep it, I was like, nope, it's gone. And I got her this one book at the library book sale, and it's, like, an apartheid story.
Oh.
And when we got to that one, I was thinking she would want to get rid of it, because she, like, the ones that are more serious with real-world implications, like, you can tell she wants to stay in her, like, escapism happy bubble.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was looking at it, she was like, well, this tells a really important story, so we should keep it.
That's really cute. Aw, you taught her well.
The hardest thing, like, has been trying to teach her, like, that this is still happening.
Yeah.
Right.
That most of these stories are set in the past, so it's hard to find a lot, like, new books that deal with current issues. So just trying to, like, bridge out. So for me, like, I talk to her about that as much as I can, the fact that it's still happening, and then I just try to make sure that she sees, as much as possible, that she sees a variety of diverse heroes in her media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she doesn't watch a ton of TV, she watches mostly My Little Pony, so we're back to that again, but, you know.
Right.
Her three DC superhero, her very first Barbies were DC superhero girls, and they were Supergirl, Wonder Woman, and Bumblebee. So.
Wow.
Like, yay. And she's so funny, because she's like, they can't stand up, because they have, like, they're wearing boots, like, practical superheroing footwear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so their feet are, like, flat, so she thinks they should be able to stand up, and I was like, look at you having Barbies that you think, like, their feet actually could stand.
maybe she grew up to make ones that can. To revolutionize Barbies.
Yeah, she should.
In the future. All right.
That was quite a diversion that was not on our list. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It still works, because the moral of the story is it is good for children's fiction to be educational, and you want your children to learn things, so don't be mad about a story.
Yep.
I mean, and also, like, how often have you seen a story about the partition of India?
You don't.
Never.
We need to learn these things, too. I mean, there were details about Rosa Parks in the Rosa episode that I'm sure I never learned in school.
Yeah. For sure. So, whatever. I think it's great. And you keep doing you, Doctor Who, and Chris Chibnall, and your team. All right.
And the season's almost over, though, which is weird.
Oh, yeah, I know. Weird. It's because it's, like, a short one. Yeah, like, this was episode 5, right?
I think we're on...
Or 6.
Yeah, we're about halfway.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, because 4 was spiders in the UK. Arachnid.
Yeah. 5 was, yeah, and 5 was the spaceship, which with the pregnant man.
That's true.
That was a fun episode, and I kind of shipped her with that guy who died.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, you know, challenging her, but not super disrespectfully, like, on an equals kind of level.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm into this. I was, like, just starting to get there, and then he died.
I'm not going to lie. I was, like, only half paying attention to the episode. Like, the parts of the pregnant man I was super paying attention to. And then the parts I was, like, I was, like, doing work while I was watching. But when there was the two space people, and the woman was like, she's sick, right? She was like, I'm sorry that I lied to you, or I didn't tell you that I was sick, right? And he's like, that's okay, there's a lot of truth that I kept from you. And I was like, he's gonna say he loves her. And he was like, I love you. And I was like, yes! I knew it! But anyway, that's all.
I will say, it's time for Ryan to get an episode now. Because
yeah.
Yes!
Yes, it's had, I mean, because she kind of had spiders or arachnids in the UK, was kind of.
About her family, like, yeah. Yeah.
And like,
I mean, technically, the first episode was kind of Ryan's episode, in that it was about his grandma, but he needs a follow-up.
Yeah. And, like, Graham has been given, like, because both Graham and Ryan have kind of been the comic reliefs for the past couple episodes,
mm-hmm.
but uh-huh. Graham has also been given time to, like, which makes sense given his age, like, sort of impart wise words to people, so, like, Ryan needs to find his thing beyond being the comic relief, which he actually did in Rosa a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, he had an important role in Rosa, and hopefully he'll have one that, like, because we learn more about his father in this one, you know? Not this one, yeah. But I mean the one where he was the doula. And he, like, convinced a pregnant man not to give up his baby, right? Because he was like, no, be a dad.
That's true.
I'm like, my dad. So what I'm saying is that we'll probably see him meet his dad again by the end of the season. There'll probably be an episode where he sees his dad. That's what I'm hoping, anyway.
I know. Some secret about his dad is why he couldn't be there, like, yeah. with Rose.
Yes. Accurate. All right. So, topic number three is Catherine came to her first event with an accent.
I did, and nothing broke, which was amazing.
And nothing broke. We did not horribly humiliate ourselves.
No, we didn't.
No, it was we went to the Newport Beach Film Festival, which also included Variety's 10 to watch honorees.
Uh-huh.
So, would you like to tell us about your experience, Catherine?
The fact that I can say complete sentences in front of Henry Golding, I think, is an accomplishment all on its own. But no, we got to talk to a good handful of the actors. I think we saw Topher Grace and Letitia Wright pass us at one point.
Yes, they did not stop to chat, but we did see them.
So, like, the both of us were, like, both of our heads turned, like, yeah. Is that? Yeah, it was. But yeah, no, we talked, to Zazie Beetz, we talked mm-hmm. to Elsie Fisher, who will be in the upcoming The Addams Family, animated show. She's providing a voice for that. I'm trying to think of everybody we talked to. We heard Russell Hornby do an amazing interview next to us.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll be able to find that, interview that he did, but that, it was just great listening to him. Who else did we talk to? We talked to Henry Golding about Monsoon,
yes.
his new movie coming up. He was recently, of course, well known for his role in Crazy Rich Asians, and of course as Blake Lively's husband in A Simple Favor, with Paul Feig. Did I forget anybody?
Did you already say Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
No, she was another one.
Yeah, we talked to her, you know, about Birds of Prey. So yeah, we'll definitely be putting articles up about that this week, and you know, put up the videos of the interviews, so you'll get to see.
We did talk. Hmm? We did talk to Robert Stir from.
Yes, your new favorite human being.
Yes, he's really fun to talk to.
Who's
he was the Icon Award at the event the other day. So.
And he is indeed an icon. You'll be able to find those videos on the website this week and on YouTube, of course. So hopefully you'll learn something new about the DC movies, because Zazie Beetz is going to be in Joker. And of course, Mary Elizabeth is in Birds of Prey. And then uh-huh. we'll probably do a little article on, like, what movies to look out for the rest of them. Like Monsoon, as Catherine mentioned. She's going to be in the Joaquin Phoenix one. She's playing a character named Sophie Drummond, who is very mysterious because she does not exist in DC Comics yet. So she's made for the movie, and she couldn't give us any spoilers on the character, of course. But she did say, you know, obviously she's a single mother. The character's a single mother who somehow affects the Joker's life pre-Jokering greatly. And also, she said, which I thought was interesting, was that the script kept evolving while they were filming. And I was like, she didn't make it sound like a bad thing, but I was like, well, it's DC. Therefore, I automatically assume it's a bad thing. But
Shade!
No offense.
I heard that, like, DC and Marvel won't share actors, but
they
maybe
Fox will, because technically, you know, she's Fox as of right now. It's Marvel, but
Deadpool's kind of out on its own, doing its own.
Exactly.
I was about to get all excited, and the place my mind immediately went was Domino and Harley Quinn, and like
that would be amazing, Domino and Harley Quinn. Wow. But no, she has talked about how she wants to see an origin story for Domino, and that she hopes that X-Force gives that to her, and I really want that too. So I'm really hoping that
we're going to have like an actual X-Force team this time, and not an all dead X-Force.
Right, because he brings them back. Yeah, he brings them back at the end, just like he actually brought Vanessa back. Yeah, he brings them all back and Vanessa too.
Okay.
So it's like spoilers.
I only saw him being like Gary or the normal guy and somebody else. Them, so that's good.
So yeah, I think it's like if you watch the whole credit sequence, you'll see he go back and, you know, fix a bunch of whatever things, all the way to going back in time to killing Ryan Reynolds before he could take on Green Lantern.
I missed that part.
Yeah.
Right. Although I'm really glad we got Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool though.
Yes.
Wouldn't be the same without him.
Right, and I'm really glad that we got Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively out of Green Lantern. Sorry, Scarlett Johansson, but you didn't like him that much anyway.
Catherine, this was your first, like, event for us. How was it?
I liked it. Like, I thought it, like, the anxiety that I can have was, like, it's gonna be horrible, I'm not gonna be able to talk, and then I thought about, like, all of the set experiences that I've had with stars, like, I was in Grease Live, like, in part of, like, the studio audiences, and so I guess, like, I just pulled that brain mentality, and it was fine. It was really fun. So hopefully I'll get to do some more things, get more practice. You always just need practice with these things, and then you become more comfortable. But
yeah.
No, it's fun. It's fun hearing their stories in person, compared to just like watching it like on YouTube or whatever. So it's nice to get that perspective, and then talking to like everybody next to us and things like that.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, there were some really nice people there. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it. Like I am always nervous. Like I always have high anxiety every single time. But having you there, you know, also helped me.
Though.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet. But yeah, but it helped me having you there, you know, because it's like, oh, well, I have to appear composed so that Catherine won't think I'm crazy.
It's like everything is gonna go wrong. I know everything was fine.
Yeah.
We did it. We made it through.
The
entire time, so.
There was only one hiccup, but it wasn't even for us, so it's fine. Just because we all thought that this one actress was a Mexican actress from Roma, but it was actually a different woman who was not on the list.
And to be fair, there were two actors there that weren't on the list.
Yeah, there were quite a few that weren't on the list.
Like 5 seconds before they showed up.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they gave us a tip sheet like at the like last second, and suddenly I was like, I don't know these people, and I can't come up with questions to ask them. So thankfully, none of them stopped for us to begin with.
Yeah.
But the guy next to me had like asked who that actress was, and so at the time I thought it was that woman, so I told him that name. And then she didn't come down until like 10 minutes later, but he started asking her as if she was that, and I was like, no, it's not her. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Take it back. Because as soon as she started speaking, I was like, that woman is definitely American. That woman is not the same.
Yeah. Like, you know how like sometimes like some stars like will have the same profile, like if you don't see like their face head on, mm-hmm. and so you're like, I think that's that person.
Right. Especially if you're not familiar, you know, if you're not familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And since there was only one lady that looked like her on the list, the other lady was on the list, so. Anyway.
we saved the day, though, eventually.
Yes, we did. Awesome. We did save it. I was like, this is him. It's not her. Please. Redirect your question. But anyway. Okay.
It's like we saved each other. It's all good.
There you go. Exactly. All right. So now, Angela, it's time for Angela and I to share our most recent K-drama feelings and hopefully convince Catherine to watch one or two of them. All right. Let's go.
So I'm like halfway through Terry Is Behind Me, and I really love it. And I'm trying to remember what's happening right now. Oh, he just jumped in the river. And then they got him out of the river, and now he, like, the evil spy lady came to Aaron's apartment to, like, try to find him.
Didn't Aaron save him from the river?
Yeah, she yes, I saw her do that, and she was amazing, and I was, the only thing in the back of my brain, I was like, there was, like, a whole, like, group of, like, spies trying to find him, like, how did Aerin and the other eight the right spot of the river?
She is the most competent. Fine. It's fine.
I mean, she really is the most competent.
So, for Catherine, and for anyone else who hasn't started watching, Terry is behind me, it is half spy drama, half domestic, like, comedy. and it's about a recently single mother, because this woman's husband gets murdered because he witnessed a murder. So he gets murdered for witnessing a murder. And then she has to raise her kids alone with the protection of the spy who lives next door to her. Because he realizes what happened to her husband. So he's, like, watching over her and her kids and also trying to figure out what she knows about the terrorist organization that attacked her husband.
But then he falls in love with the children.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, I would say he falls in love with her, but really he falls in love with her children. And...
Tatiana had to listen to me, like, rant about parenting, because he was, like, undermining their mother in front of them, and I was like, you don't do that. No,
no. He just loves them so much.
Something in the store. They were throwing a tantrum, wanting something in the store, and she was like, no, let's go, and he was like, well, we could have it. And I was like, no!
No.
He thwarted the tantrum. What are you doing, Super Spy Man?
So, yes. But, yeah, so it is a fun little, like, role reversal situation, because it really is, like, at this point, he's the stay-at-home dad, and she's the one that's, like, doing all the spy work.
So is it, like a lighthearted, like, comedy kind of thing with, like, the spy?
For the most part.
It feels like it could be a Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay.
Like, the spy stuff that's there, like, it's not, like, it's all goofy spy stuff. Like, you know, people get hurt, and it's dramatic and spy thrillery or whatever, but then it's goofy. I just get to the part where they're maybe implying that, like, female agent uh-huh. who might be, like, killing people is Kwak Hee-young's wife, and I'm like, no.
Oh. Hmm. Okay.
I kept thinking she was the, like, candy that was killed. She could be both.
Yeah. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I'll just say that I pretty much stop paying attention when spy stuff happens. I only pay attention if I think that it will relate back to the parents or the children at some point, so.
I pay attention to Aerin spy stuff when...
Yeah, of course. I don't count that. That's not spy stuff. That's Aerin being awesome. The spy stuff is, like, what I mean, like, the company, you know, like... Whatever, the NIS.
Yeah, I don't even care about.
Yeah. And then also.
Yes, the most incompetent NIS.
The most incompetent spy service. And then also her, like, ex boss, the CEO, who is actually the one that, like, is responsible for her husband's death to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sucks. Yeah. And everything that he does is boring. Although, they, like.
It makes me really sad because he was the dad in Go Back Couple, which I really loved.
Aww.
He was the male lead.
Yeah,
he was good in that.
And I mean, he's a great actor.
He's terrible here.
Yeah, he's a great actor, and the back half really does, like, lean on the comedy with him. And I'm like, he's great at it, but I'm still resent him because I remember the first half.
The drama.
Yeah, no, he's terrible. And, like, I want, although, like, Aerin, the only time that Aerin was not a competent spy, which to be fair, she's never been trained, is when, like, he kidnapped her the second time, mm-hmm. and he was able to do it. He, like, comes to her on the street, and he's like, "Let's go have coffee." And she's like, okay, and gets in the taxi with him, even though she's already suspicious of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're standing right in front of a coffee shop. Like, you should have just turned around and been like, okay, you can meet me right here in this coffee shop.
Victim blaming. But yes.
Why did you get in a car with him? And then they're still, like, kind of nice to him, given the fact that, like, he's kidnapped her twice, and she's just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, they're way too nice to him. But that's all right. It's a very fun, feel-good show regardless, like, minor, like, it's a show that, like, doesn't make sense, but you don't need it to make sense, and it follows its own nonsensical rules. Like, that's what's most important to me, because there are definitely, like, shows where it starts off and you're like, oh, well, this is a fun, wacky ride, but then it starts, like, going back on its own rules, and then it's like, you can't even, you know, stay consistent in this nonsense. So at least
there's enough of the, like, oh, the silliness with the, like, the group of the other parents. There's, like, the parents in their, like, giant Facebook chat group.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, all the parents in an apartment complex, like, have, like, a parenting group. Like, whack. And Soji Sub, the male lead, being, like, a total softie around the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm here for. So, it's very entertaining.
How long has it been running for? Is it, like, fairly new, or?
It's about to end.
Yeah, the finale's this weekend.
Yeah. Okay. So it's been 14 episodes out of 16. So that one's, like, the one that's, like, the happy place.
Yeah, you have to complain about the other one.
Yes. So now, another one that started at the same time, because it's also on episode 14 out of 16, so it's going to be ending next week, is The Third Charm. And The Third Charm, I watched because it stars two of my babies, So Kang Joon, who was the male lead in Are You Human Too, and Isam, who was one of the main characters of Because This Is My First Life, which was one of my favorite shows last year. And they're both great. It's literally the call, like, I talked about it when it first premiered, because it's about, like, their lives through three different times. We assume three different times they dated. So far, they've dated two times. Now we're on the third time, but they have not started dating yet. And it started off, I thought it was going to be, like, a, you know, like, a romantic comedy, with, you know, like, obviously it'd be, like, dysfunctional couple, because, like, why are they breaking up two times over the course of, like, 12 years, right? But as it's progressed, I feel like it's decided to become a different genre, and it's not the genre that I signed up for. Like, it's definitely gotten more melodramatic as the times progress. The first time, it's like they're in college, and they only date for, like, a little bit, like, a couple of days, literally, before a misunderstanding breaks them apart. And I had noticed this, that it what played from his perspective, like, he didn't understand why they broke up, and he was, like, really bitter about it. And you don't get her perspective until the next time that they reunite. And so I was like, I don't like that, but I'm gonna let it slide, because it seemed like the second time around they were gonna focus more on her perspective, right? Because the second time around, it's when he's, like, being really insecure and jealous, and she's having to put up with that. So I thought they were going to break up because of his insecurities and his jealousy. But again, instead, it was her quote-unquote fault that they broke up. And then it skips forward in time and gives you a whole episode from his perspective of the time difference. Whereas at the end, it just shows up. She just shows up, and she's... Do you guys care about spoilers? Like, since I hate it, are you... No? Okay. At the end of that time difference, she shows up and she's married to the guy that he was jealous of the last time around. And I was like, what? Why would she have married him? There's, like, no reason for her to marry that guy. And it's never explained to you, like, what made her fall for him, because she was very firm about not wanting to be with him when you last saw her. And now suddenly they're married, and getting divorced, of course. They're married and getting divorced, so you didn't see anything. And they had a child who died. So I'm like, all these things happened to her off screen when I was watching an entire episode.
No, see, dead kids are often a deal breaker for me.
Yeah. But, like, if you're going to put so much trauma in her life, then why wouldn't you show it? Because it's not like, why wouldn't you focus on that and unpack that if you're going to make it that depressing? Because it doesn't make it less depressing that we didn't see it, you know? Her life is still a mess because of all these things, and she's still, like, falling apart whenever you see her. You just don't. You know, you just don't get to really understand why. And so that really bothers me. And now it's just, like, all this extra stuff. It's, like, so, like her best friend, who, like, for the first two times, you see her, like, trying to find a man, basically. Like, she wants to get married and have kids. And now, in this third time, she has cancer. And also, the surgery to, you know, at least stave off the cancer means she can't have kids. So I'm like, what is, why? Why did you do this? So I'm really mad at it. And what I'm most mad about is that Young Jae, who is Isam, that's the female lead, doesn't get enough perspective for people to understand her. Because people are already going to be in a deficit with women. Like, as we know, they're always going to blame the woman when they could see equal sides. They don't. Even if they're presented with both sides equally, they would still blame her. Because they don't see her at all, people just basically hate her, right? Like, viewers want her gone, basically. And not that I dislike her, I really love her, but at this point in time, I feel like he's better with the second female lead, who's the girl that he started dating after the second time. And I guess to its credit, the show has done a little bit of giving you hints of why that's not a good idea. Because that girl, Se'en is her name, is now in the position that he was before. Because now she's the one that feels like insecure about his previous relationship with Young Jae. And she does everything for him, and it feels like it's not reciprocated. But I don't know. I guess I just don't know where they're going to go, because they've only got two episodes left. Young Jae needs therapy more than she needs a relationship with Jun Young, who is the main guy. And he's still engaged to Se'en, who at the end of this last episode, like they had a fight because she tried to set up Young Jae with one of her fellow police officers. And so he was mad about that it didn't work out anyway, but he was mad that she did that because she did it out of jealousy, right? She was like, oh, let me get this girl out of the way and set her up with a police officer. And then she was mad that he got mad because she's like, this is the first time you've ever been mad at me and it's about her. But then she found his like planner and she was like going through it and it's all stuff about Sam. Like it's like, oh, our anniversary. Oh, the wedding's going to be on this date. Oh, I'm going to make her tea because she doesn't feel well today or whatever, right? So she's like, oh, he really does love me. I feel good now. And I was like, where's the but? But what? And then Young Jae calls him because she just found out her friend has cancer and she's freaking out and she's remembering her daughter's death, etc. So she calls him. So obviously he's going to go help her, which he should. And that makes sense. But presumably that's how it's going to, you know, that's how we'll get to the third time, I guess. And then poor other girl will just get dumped like she expected to get dumped. So congratulations. I don't know. I don't like it. I'm like, I don't feel like I'm going to be happy at the end of this. I don't feel like anyone's going to be happy. The happiest relationship on the show is Jun Young's sister and his best friend. The best friend used to be a player, and then he falls in love with Jun Young's sister, and she gets pregnant, but she won't marry him. And also she's like a high-powered like career woman, and now he's a stay-at-home dad. So, but he's upset because he wants to get married, and she doesn't want to get married, and he's also jealous of her male coworker. That he thinks that, like, she's going to leave him. And I was like, this is also, like, this is horrible. I feel really sad for everyone. And then she was like, stop thinking I'm going to leave you. I'll give you notice if I'm going to leave you. And I was like, oh, I guess that's happy. Never mind. I guess they're good. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm, like, really sad because I'm excited for that one. Now I'm like,
But I guess I should still watch it.
You should still watch it? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Sometimes you need crazy.
Well, if you want crazy, you should watch The Smiles Left Your Eyes, which is currently my favorite gay drama, even though it's going to end in blood and tears. I know it's going to be terrible in terms of it being a tragic ending, but it's been done really well. So you go, Smiles Left Your Eyes. All I ask of you is that you let a couple of the people that died in the original live in this version. That's all I ask for. Just a few of them. I've been watching the Japanese version at the same time, just so that I can, like, be prepared for what's coming. And I'm not done with the Japanese version yet either, but the changes that they've made so far, I feel like are all, almost all for the better. At least for the better of, like, my enjoyment of the show. So, like, the male lead is less evil in the Korean version than the Japanese version. And the brother, who is the cop that's after him, is less of a creep. Because, like, in the original version, he, like, falls for one of the girls that the main guy manipulates, who's also a murderer. And he just basically decides she's not a murderer and he's going to set her free because he likes her. Even though she's younger than his sister, who's already very young. So I was like, this is gross, because you're, like, 40 and she's, like, maybe 20. Maybe. So I hated it. I was, like, uncomfortable every single time they interacted. And then I was scared they're going to do that again in the Korean version. But instead, in the Korean version, he does like the police officer who was his partner. So, whew. Okay, that's all.
That's the incest one.
That is the incest one. Thank you. Spoilers, but
the cast looks amazing, but
yes, the cast looks amazing, but there is the unfortunate side effect of incest.
You've been watching Matrimonial Chaos, and I really want to know about that.
Yes, I started watching Matrimonial Chaos, which is, I think, what the third charm would like to be. Because it's about a couple that just got divorced, or they decide to get divorced at the start of the drama, but they still need to live together because, you know, they have to find new places to stay. They haven't told their families yet, etc. And at the same time, there's the ex of the male lead whose marriage, she just got married, but her husband is a player and he's already, like, you know, cheated on her several times. So, like, the marriage is falling apart before it's even really started. And, like, all four of these people, like, start to connect and, like, interact more and learn about themselves through each other's relationships. So I think it's a really good, it's a really good look at what makes family, right? Because, like, they're divorced, but they're still a family. And they still have obligations to their own families and to each other's families as a unit. And also, there's, you know, like, the way that they react to their friend's marriage. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, the, like, obviously the male lead judges his ex's husband for being a horrible liar and a cheater. And the ex is like, yeah, but we're still married and you're divorced. So, like, you didn't cheat on your wife and yet you still couldn't make her happy. So, well, it's your excuse. And I was like, that's an interesting perspective. One thing that I'm excited about, I haven't gotten to the part where it's, like, blossomed yet, and I hope that we actually see it blossom on screen. Peytuna is the female lead, and why did I say her name? What was I starting off with?
Are you doing the male lead or the next woman in it?
No, I was going to say something about Peytuna, but I don't remember what I was going to say about her, other than I love her. Okay, it doesn't matter. Point is that I love her and she's great, but you get to see, like, it starts off where he wants a divorce from her. But then at first she's like, doesn't agree with it until she asks, like, she's suddenly like, actually, I do want to get divorced. And so it starts off like seeing like the reasons why he wants to divorce her, you know, like he's tired of like how like sloppy she is or like how she doesn't like, she's too carefree. But then it slowly morphs into like the reasons why she is tired of him. Like he's too passive aggressive, or he's too focused on himself, or he only cares about the things that he thinks are important and he doesn't really see what she's doing or the effort that she's putting in, because she doesn't put in what he views as effort when he wants it. He doesn't see what she does try to do. So I thought that was really interesting. Oh, right. Peytuna's sister. That's what I was going to say. So her sister also breaks up with her boyfriend at the beginning of the story. And it takes her a while to like explain why she doesn't want to be with him. And he's also awful. But what's good is that first off, it calls out rape culture. And second off, it's clear that she likes women. And she, in fact, likes one of her coworkers. So I think that it does become a relationship later on, but I can't be sure because I'm not there yet. But they are actually, like, dealing with the fact that, like she's explaining to her ex, like, why. She's like, I don't feel comfortable with you. Like, I don't like it when you kiss me. I don't feel like I'm, you know, I feel like I'm outside of myself. And it's like, yeah, that's just because your first relationship or your first time or whatever. She's like, no, it's always been, like, it's not my first time, first of all. Thank you. And every time I'm with a man, I feel like this. So, and so then he's like, again, he's trying to explain away. And she's like, no, I don't think you understand what I'm telling you. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting because I have not yet seen, even when there has been like a gay character or like a sort of like undertone of a romance, they've never really dealt with it head on, or they've never really like talked about it, you know, aside from like jokingly being like, oh, I guess he likes men. And that's the end of that. So yeah,
it sounds really good. Yeah. And I'm excited about that one being good.
Yes, so far so good. Hopefully it's not, you know, my friend that's ahead of me, she said that, like, the last episode, she's like, something iffy happened in the last episode that I'm not happy about, but I think that they're going to be able to deal with it next week, so I'll keep you informed. I have no idea what the context was of that, but she's like, that was the first time that something iffy happened. So I was like, okay, thank you. I did watch the first week of Mama Fairy and the Woodcutter, which just came out, and which we had previously talked about being excited about. And because it's like, I want to finish a Moon Chae-Won drama. Oh, to be fair, I finished Innocent Man / Nice Guy, whatever, but I hated it. So I want to finish and enjoy whatever dramas. And my issue with it, though, is that, well, first off, it's another one that's like kind of like nonsensical because it's like a fairy tale, right? It's literally a fairy tale. And that's like really fun and like cute. But I don't like the concept of not being clear which man is her husband, because the story is her wings were taken, her stolen. She's a fairy. She was on Earth. Her wings were stolen. Now she's stuck there. But then she meets a woodcutter who she falls in love with, and he becomes her husband. They get married. They have two kids. Then he dies. Now she's still stuck on Earth without her wings. But also she's waiting for her husband to reincarnate so she can meet him again and she can have her family together again. Presumably her kids either keep reincarnating or have somehow stuck around with her. It's not clear yet. But her daughter is like a tiger person for some reason. She changes back and forth between a cat that's actually a tiger and a girl. And her son is an egg who just started cracking, like just started hatching. So I'm like, how long has the son been an egg? Why did he become an egg? Someone explain it to me. But anyway.
They're playing this game with who the lead is. I thought they showed in flashbacks it's the guy.
Like, that's the thing. Okay, so in the flashbacks, it's very clear that it's what I thought was the male lead. The older professor who's like cranky and whatnot. But the younger guy, who's his TA, has been there every time that she sees something about from the professor, so she thinks that he must be her husband. The younger guy's also there. Mm. And the younger guy can talk to animals. And the younger guy also sees her as young and old, just like the professor does. So it's like, And also, the egg started hatching, like the egg cracked, when the younger guy touched it. So I was like, I feel like...
Maybe he's the son.
Yeah.
Maybe he's their son.
I was going to say maybe he's the son, or maybe he was someone else in their life, but I heard, and this is spoilers for the webtoon, which I have not read, and I don't even know if I can read it in English, but apparently, in the webtoon... the younger guy is her husband. And so she thinks it's the older guy, but then it turns out to be the younger guy. But I was like, I don't want that. So I really don't want...
The guy who's the more famous one has the top billing as well. And like once in a while, second leads end up like being the romantic lead, but it's not very common.
Yeah. So. I mean, like, I just think that like, not just because of the age difference, although he really does look like a child. So that's why I'm like, I don't find that cute. But I also just think that like, they focus so much more on the professor. So I don't know. And in fact, I think they focus. They focus so much on him that apparently netizens were angry because they thought that they had changed the ending. They thought that they had made him the husband instead. So I guess we'll see. We'll see if they have a right to be angry. They have a reason to be angry. And I hope they do because I don't want the younger guy to be the husband. He's very adorable though. He's very adorable, but he should not be with her. And since I previously said, oh, I kind of like him with the cat daughter, I really don't want him to be her father. I don't need more incest.
Oh jeez.
Anyway,
I think I'm like more naturally like intrigued about this now.
You should check it out. It just started, so it'd be like, you know, it's called Mama Fairy on the Woodcutter, and you can watch it for free on Viki.com. Yeah.
I'm just like, this sounds intriguing. Like, I don't know why, but it does.
Well, it's got, you know, like, obviously there's a lot of fantastical elements, and you're going to get a little bit of Korean mythology in it, you know? And, yeah, just, like, fun over-the-top characters. And a child that is an egg. Waiting to hatch! I don't know why that's the funniest thing to me.
No, but, like, that's the part, like, when you guys are talking about that, I'm like, this sounds intriguing.
Yeah. Like, I just want to know what happens when he hatches. All right. Okay. So, last Korean drama segment before we toss it back to Catherine for Broadway is our forever boyfriends and girlfriends. So, Angela, I know they've been forever for longer for you because you've been K-dramaing much longer than I have. So, go for it.
Yeah. It's been like 10 years now.
Happy anniversary.
So it's weird because it's like a blend of characters and actors.
Mm-hmm.
So like one of them it's like kind of Yoon Shi-yoon, except it's really Enrique from Flower Boy Next Door, which was like one of his big roles. Though not his like biggest role.
Yeah, but like because of Enrique, Yoon Shi-yoon will always be on your list.
Yes. Mm. Even, and I will like, I pay attention to every drama that he's in, even though most of them are not good. I might watch this one, Honor. It sounds like it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know why a lot of English-speaking Tumblr didn't, like, best hit very much, because I thought it was good. But that character is just so good. He's, like, the perfect beta male lead. He does the majority of the emotional labor in that relationship. Like... he's so supportive of her. He has this whole thing, like, the second male lead loves her because he puts her up on a pedestal, and Enrique is like, no, like, I want to know who she is as a person, and I want to help her get well again. The, like, second male lead unconsciously is fetishizing the fact that she's got, like, agoraphobia.
Mm-hmm.
And won't go out, and Henry's like, I mean, that's not good for her, and I want to help her, like, be able to go out into the world.
I love that.
So, it's good. He's awesome. You/ Hangul from Coffee Prince.
Yes!
Another example of him. Really, I mean, forever, he's so good. It's like, I forget how often, like, whenever I think about Coffee Prince, I forget that he's, like, technically a Chaebol.
Oh, yeah.
He's not like every other Chaebol. He's not like any other Chaebol.
They don't only focus on, like, oh, my wealthy family, or, oh, you know, whatever. So.
And he's not that snotty. Like, he kind of is a little bit at the beginning, but not really. Like, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, it would be a Joe Kyung-ho, which is funny because I haven't seen him in anything that's great. Or, the thing that I saw him in that was great was Heartless City, which is, like, not my cup of tea at all. But I watched it because it sounds like that's one of his best roles.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. I first saw him not that long ago in Missing Nine, which ended up being a trash fire. But he's just so... He's very charismatic. And so I was like, well, I want to see him in more things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for him to do a rom-com that's really good. Because... One More Happy Ending is fine.
It's fine.
Great, but it's fine. it's just nice.
Yeah.
I guess. And then my Kim Sun-ho, my new baby. Not baby, he's only like a year younger than me. but he's like a rookie actor. Like it's definitely seems like he came to it like a little bit later in life, like
yeah.
definitely post Army Duty.
Okay.
And he dimples. Dimples McCutie.
Dimples McCutie?
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, he is super cute. That's right. He's the guy who is the face blindness from 100 Days My Prince.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I swear, one of these dudes would cheat about face blindness in K-dramas and be like, I mean, like, the statistics for the real world, like, how often this condition occurs in the real world compared to how often it's in K-dramas for the sake of drama. Like... I want to know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I was tempted to watch 100 Days of My Prince, but now you've told me don't do that. So I will not.
Yeah. Don't, you don't want to do
special,
it.
That's like 2 hours long. It's really cute. He's so good. Like, everyone is so good and strong as Still a Very Man, which you have to, like, find through questionable sources right now, thanks to Drama Fever being gone.
Welp.
But he's another, he was a Chaebol and he was an asshole, and I liked him in the strength of his kids. Charisma, like he just so affable.
Yeah. So even when he plays a character you don't like, you still like him.
Well, and this character has really great development.
Mm-hmm.
But what I liked is that the female character that's kind of the equivalent of him, everyone has really great development. Like the four leads all have really great development in that drama. So it's not even like the second male female lead doesn't. Like,
right.
They all do. It's really
yeah.
good. So those are my always boyfriends. My always girlfriends is Yuna. Obviously. Always and forever. Yeah. We both totally love Yuna.
Yes.
Like, she plays, like, a friend of the main characters in One More Happy Ending, and she's supposed to be the, like, frumpy one, and I'm just like, no.
That's impossible.
Like?
But, you know, well, she's also the frumpy one. She's also the frumpy one in My Love from the Star. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
This is wise.
But what I like about it, her story arc in One More Happy Ending is An Hyo-sup, who's in top management
now. Oh, okay.
The lead in top management. The whole point is, like, she's 9 years older than him, and the whole point is that, like, he's like, no, you're adorable. Like, I love you.
You love your Nuna romances.
I do. He does unfortunately say, he only ever calls her cute and adorable instead of being, like, amazing and gorgeous like you and I is, but, like, that's the character, right?
Right.
Because like, he shows up to be the, like... I love my Nuna romances because K-drama is so beholden to that power dynamic between the male and the female.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I just getting to flip that on its head a little bit in the Nuna romance makes me really happy. You're more likely to have a soft male lead if it's a Nuna romance. Not always, but I think that's why I'm so drawn to them.
Right.
Park Min-young, always, in anything.
Yeah.
And Sun Kyung Kwan scandals, and City Hunter, which is an inferior healer, so just watch healer.
Right.
Although City Hunter is the one K drama I ever made John sit through.
Really? He made it through?
Yep.
What do you think of it?
He watched it. He said it was a little soapy, but it was good.
Okay, okay. But he hasn't watched since, so I guess it wasn't that good.
There's less focus on the romance in City Hunter, which is why he could handle it more. City Hunter does have a really good hero-villain dynamic. Like, it's still notable to me for that. Like, I think it's a really interesting villain. One of my favorite K-drama villains, probably.
Oh, okay.
Like, I hate him so much, but at the same time, he's such an interesting villain. Like,
I will have to check it out then. I mean, I've always planned on checking it out, because I've... The only Lee Min Ho drama I've watched all the way through is Boys Over Flowers, and you know how I feel about that. So...
Yep. He's good in City Hunter. Like, I feel like Lee Min Ho has very limited range.
I have a quick question about Lee Min Ho. Wasn't he in, like, this one K-drama about, like, a mermaid?
Yes. Legend of the Blue Sea.
Is that what you're talking about?
Or no.
Is this a different one?
No, we're not talking about Legend of the Blue Sea right now, but we are talking about that actor.
Okay, Legend of the Blue Sea is not one I have seen, but...
It's actually cute. It's not bad.
It's cute. Okay. I saw it. She's right. It's cute. It's not bad. It's, in some ways, there's an arc in it that's very similar to City Hunter, so Lee Min Ho just has, like, a wheelhouse, I guess. Legend of the Blue Sea is notable for Alexa watching two episodes with me.
Okay.
We watched the first two episodes because they were mermaids. And then when they ran out of their special effects budget and didn't do the mermaid stuff much anymore, she lost interest. But because of that, because I posted on Facebook that Alexa watched the first two episodes with me, and I was really happy. My mom watched the first episode of Legend of the Blue Sea. So,
wow.
The most members of my family. My mom was like, this show is weird. And I was like, if you're coming into this having no clue about K-dramas, I'm sure you're very confused. She just watched it apropos of nothing.
Oh.
She just watched it being like, I know that's something my daughter's obsessed with, and Alexa watched it, so I'm going to watch this first episode.
That's funny.
The City Hunter villain's really good, and it was funny because, like, when I was watching City Hunter for the first time, soon after it finished airing, like, the end of that week, when I had two episodes left, it was like, we had a hurricane?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the penultimate episode of City Hunter, and our power goes out. And then the power came back the next day, but we didn't have internet for a week. So I could not finish City Hunter for a week, and I was in pain.
Oh, no.
City Hunter. That's good. It has a little bit more, you get more of the short-term satisfaction of watching, like, corrupt politicians get brought down.
Okay.
There's more of that in Healer, but overall Healer is better.
Yeah.
By a lot.
I mean, Healer was my first K-drama and still one of my favorites. Definitely, like, top three for sure.
Speaking of Healer, Jiuquan Wook.
Yeah.
In all things.
Yep.
I keep circling the idea of watching Empress Ki because it's him and Han Ji-min.
Okay.
But it's definitely Han Ji-min's show. He's just, like, her pretty boy.
Nice.
/ whatever. But I think he dies, so I'm like, no.
Oh. It's not pretty when he dies.
I don't want to live in a world where Ji-Tang Wook is dead.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but like...
I can't believe I forgot to mention Ji-Tang Wook. Park Shin-hye. I don't know why I love Park Shin-hye so much, except that I just do. Because I wouldn't... Probably because of Flower Boy Next Door again, because aside from that, she's been good and everything, but not, like, amazing.
Right.
Like, Park Min-young is so good, but I don't know, I just love Park Shin-hye. I think Leo, and so I have kind of a crush on her. And Jung So Min, because she's so good and everything. And Jung So Min has come so far. Like, she was in Perfect Kiss? No, not Perfect Kiss.
Oh, right. Playful Kiss. Yeah. Yeah, I heard she wasn't great in Playful Kiss.
Well, she knew. I mean, her character is just so. Like, this is a very, like, one-dimensional story.
Okay.
And so she did it. She pulled off the character better than somebody else might have been able to.
Right.
But it's still, like, and she was still, like, newer and whatever. And then it's, you know, that guy who I hate is male lead in it.
Yes.
But she's come so far, and she's amazing. And, like, I'm seriously considering watching, like, a 50-hour weekend drama for her with
Father Strange, yep.
Something that I've never done, but it looks like she's so good.
Yeah. But you won't watch Smiles With Your Eyes for her.
Because I don't want to suffer.
Like, I know Doctor Strange is just 50 episodes and that seems overwhelming to me, but I know it's, like, a fun,
yeah,
mostly happy show.
And she'll be happy in the end. I guess. That's fine.
No, they look amazing in it, but I'm like, I know.
Yeah, they're both amazing in it, but I understand. I understand the pain. Some of mine are the same as yours. Like, obviously, Gong Yoo is a forever boyfriend because of Coffee Prince, because he made me watch Coffee Prince, and he was just so freaking good at playing that, like, pain, the pain of, like, not only unrequited love, but also, like, literally questioning your entire sexuality and identity, because he thought that he was in love with a man, which...
That's probably the top K-drama for pining.
Yeah. Like, the pining was so A+, top-notch, so good, that, like, once he found out the truth, I was just like, it's just not good now that he knows the truth. But it was so good. And then that scene where, like, the scene where he tells her, like, you know, like, I don't care. Like, let's just, you know, I just want to be with you. I don't care. And I was just like, oh, I'm crying. Why am I crying? I already know that this isn't fake. But...
The man or alien. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so good. He's amazing. And of course, I saw that interview where he was talking about, like, mental health and talking about, like, depression. And the interviewer was like, isn't that just, like, teenagers? I was like, oh. And the story he told me about the movie, I can't remember the name now, The Silence, the Deaf Children, the abuses at the deaf school. Yeah. So he's done, so, like, I love him in terms of, like, you know, as an actor and also, like, being an activist, too. So.
I guess we can say that on the podcast, the story, which is just that, like, when he got out of army duty, someone gave him a book to read about. There was this incident that got kind of famous in Korea of children at a school for, I don't know if it's just deaf or a variety of disabilities, have been sexually abused for, like, decades. And he got a book about it, and he was reading it, and he was, like, as horrified as anybody would be, and wanting to know what he could do about it. And so he, like, helped get a movie made about it. And that movie changed the law in Korea so that there is no longer a statute of limitations for people with for sexual abuse related to people with disabilities or minors.
Right.
And the law is literally named after the movie. So, like, the causation is direct.
Yeah. And, like,
and he aimed that.
Right. And he had originally wanted to just, like, help produce it or make it, but they told him to be in it so that it would be more, like, more people would go see it if he was in it. So, yeah. Anyway, I think that's wonderful, and I love him for it. But then in, like, you know, more superficial or, like, less important boyfriends, Ji Chang-wook was obviously the first one, because Healer was the first one that I watched, and he was amazing. And, like, right after Healer, I think, or right after I finished watching Healer, Sister's Partner was out. So, like, I got to, like, jump right into that and be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna watch more Ji Chang-wook. And even though Sister's Partner wasn't, like, as amazing as Healer, it was still really cute, and I really love him, and I love the combo of action and romance that he can do. I know he doesn't usually do it, so I can't watch anything else of his, and I'll just have to wait for him to come back from the army, but I love him. I sat through the entirety of Innocent Man / Nice Guy for Lee Sang-yeo, because I love him that much, and also, he was a horrible asshole in all of While You Were Sleeping, and I still loved him throughout. Because he's just so affable, even when he is playing a terrible character or in a terrible drama. So make better choices, Lee Sang-yeo, and also pair up with BoA again in a drama where y'all are the leads so that I can watch you guys more.
Yep.
And then, like, and again, like, because it's always going to be, like, or almost always just, like, a character that then makes me love an actor or actress. So, like, Park Bo-gum, but because of Chae-tak from Reply 1988. Like, and that just starts, I think, like, maybe that was the first one, but just, like, basically, no, you know what? Healer totally counts as this, too. Boys who just don't speak, they just don't say anything, and they just let you do what you want to do, and then they're just there being like, okay, hello, I'm also here helping you. That is what I like.
I was about to say that Choi Tae-ik actually falls in my soft and sweet.
Yes.
Which is less so Healer.
I mean, Healer wasn't so soft, but but yeah, so Chae-tak, Reply 1988, and then So Kang-joon now because of Nam-shin 3 from Are You Human 2. And again, like, Cha-eunu is too young to be my boyfriend, but Do Kyung-suk is the kind of man that I want. So from Gangnam, because of Gangnam Beauty. And because of him, I now listen to K-pop. So thanks a lot for that. Because when I first started watching Gangnam Beauty, I was like, oh, he's an idol. Like, this is dumb. I don't really, you know. And then I was like, oh, no, but I love him. And then he had an OST, and I was like, oh, I love his voice. I guess I'll check out his group. And now I'm like, I know all the groups. Because of him. Exactly. I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. What have I done? Now half my playlist is like a bunch of K-pop bands. Oops.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing.
I listen to them too. So.
Yeah, it's not bad, but
with C and Blue over Choi Minhyuk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Choi last name Minhyuk from C and Blue that was in Hospital Ship. But then it went away.
And then it went away. Well,
I'm very Mercury Element.
I guess no, I'll check.
I'm very Mercury Element music. Days,
yeah, so. I was like, you can check in with me the year and see if they've all gone away. If I'm like, what's BTS? Yeah. I don't know them. All right.
BTS is my favorite.
Yeah, of
that's
course.
My little plug.
Of course.
I've been with them for a long time.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I honestly, the first BTS song I heard was Fake Love, so that's how new I am to K-pop. but they have great music. Like, I went back and I've listened to, like, all their discography now, and I was like, all right, y'all are good. I get it. Anyway, on the girlfriend side, obviously, just like you, Park Min-young, and again, my first one was Healer. So, because of that role, well, I mean, she was so good in that role, and she's been so good in everything else, but that was, that role, I think, set the bar for me in terms of dramas. So, like, if a female lead does not get as much to do as she did in Healer, then I am disappointed to some degree in it. And Yuna, because of Queen Inya's Man, when she was Chae-hee Jin from Queen Inya's Man. And I love the actresses that are able to play the characters that are, like, not, like, dumb, but that they're allowed to be dumb, like, to make dumb choices without being punished by the narrative for it. Like, even if they do something wrong, or if they don't know what they're doing or know what's going on, they're still treated with respect by the narrative, and also the actress still plays her, like, with as much charm and enthusiasm and like, whatever you want to call it, like, sass, pizzazz, like Sung Siwon. Eunji played Sung Siwon in Reply 1997, and that was, like, my favorite of the Reply heroines, because, like, they played with her K-pop obsession, but they weren't, like, even though characters would make fun of it for her, like, the story didn't make fun of her for it. So I really like that. And now I still have not seen her in anything else. But every time I love her. Every time I hear A-Pink, I get excited. Or every time I, you know, see her just face. I will eventually watch something else with you in it. I just don't know what yet. Because I haven't heard anything else is amazing. So. And also, Chun Sung-yi from My Love from the Star, who had, I think, this sort of the same kind of characteristic as Eunji in Reply 1997.
And Gangnam Beauty again, but this time Im Soo-hyang. I think that she was just honestly such a great leading lady. And you see that she's got this, like, warm, vibrant energy behind the scenes too, that she's really leading that drama and setting the tone and the energy on set. So now I want to watch literally everything she's ever been in.
Finally, yeah, Park Bo-young is my absolute favorite. I saw her first in Strong Woman, Jo Bong-soon, and then I immediately watched Oh My Ghostess because I was like, I need more Park Bo-young. And I just watched the movie On Your Wedding Day, which she was so amazing in. And by the way, On Your Wedding Day, if you just want to see Third Charm, but, like, in a movie and good, that's On Your Wedding Day. Just watch that. yeah. Or watch anything about
it. Well, there's a movie on Amazon now called Scandal Makers.
Scandal Makers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is a story of, she's, like, a teenager who's, like, a teen mom.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes and finds her, like, she calls into a radio host for, like, advice about, like, her father had her he never knew about her, but he created her when he was two, just a teenager, and she calls into this, like, the radio host to be like, I need support. And he's like, well, you should go find your dad. And so she turns up on his door because...
I see.
Like, within the ideal bachelor, like, swinging life, has to deal with not only, like, a sudden, like, teen child, but grandson.
I love it.
All
right.
That's on And it's on Amazon.
Well, then I will be checking that out because I want to see more of her things. So, and she's coming back. She's coming back with a drama, I think, at the beginning of next year. So I'm so ready.
I never blame them for getting out of dramas, though, because the filming schedules are, like, inhumane.
Yeah, for sure. So. All right, Catherine.
Yes, I let you do
it. I love listening to it, though, to be honest. Like, I'm one of those people, like, when people start ranting, I'm like, ooh, I want to hear stories. So that's, like, I'm like, ooh, here's story time.
So now it's your story time.
Uh-oh.
Now you can
finally rant. Woo!
Bravay!
So we have a couple of stars leaving shows this month. Bitter. Very, very bitter. The first one I'm going to bring up, because it's like, you know, like when you follow people for a very long time and they announce their last day on Broadway, you're, like in their show, you're just like, well, thanks for that. Now I feel betrayed.
Oh, you should be in this for the rest of your life.
Right? Like, yeah. But no, I wish them all the best moving forward. And they're all amazing people, so I am not worried about any of them. But the first one that I want to bring up, Zach Atkins from Anastasia. His last day is November 29th. He will be replaced by Cody Simpson.
Oh.
He's actually in transition mode. He's learning everything right now. So, yeah, if you want to follow most of the cast of Anastasia is on Instagram, and they're super fun to follow. Christy goes on live all the time. They have a segment in the show in the second act where they have a live every single time they have a show if they can. Zach started doing live more. Mac Von Essen, who is Gleb in the show, also is very active. They're all really sweet people, so super excited. But yeah, Cody Simpson will make his Broadway debut on November 29th. This week, we said goodbye to two of the young stars in Disney's Frozen on Broadway.
Oh.
We said goodbye to some of the young Elsa and Anna's. So Ayla Schwartz and Mattea Conforti. I hope I said their names right. They had their last day the other day. So we've been watching like all of this posts from Jelani and everybody saying goodbye. It's like everybody does. They don't really say goodbye on Broadway. It's happy trail. You have a happy trail send off.
Oh,
so
that's
sweet.
It's
a little thing, and like the whole community does that. Ali Ewalt, who is the first Asian American Christine on Broadway, has her last day coming up on November 17th.
Oh wow! How long was she Christine?
Like, we have to say goodbye to all of you.
Yeah. How long was she Christine on Phantom?
It's been a while. I think it's been, I want to say, a year. Hold on.
Oh, that's great.
It's been a while. She's been with them for a while. But let me see if I can find the exact date. But yeah, no, Phantom had a big anniversary year this year, so she was able to carry that through when they had their Empire State Building special and everything. They had, like, this, I think it's their 30th anniversary on Broadway. It's one of Broadway's longest running shows.
Yeah.
And Wicked also had its 25th anniversary. No, 15th anniversary? Halloween week, because they opened at the Gershwin Theater on October 30th. So they had Big Blue Sunday special hosted by Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth. That was really fun. They brought back a lot of people to pay tribute. And brought out Stephen Schwartz and everything, so...
Yeah. So for the newer shows, and I don't even know what's like really counts as new, but like for example, I definitely have not seen or heard any like Broadway specific songs from Frozen or Anastasia. So have you seen either of those shows or heard the soundtracks? And what are your thoughts on that?
So I haven't seen those shows because it's really hard go back east, unfortunately. I'm not here. I'm a Broadway fan out in the West Coast in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard unless they come out on tour. Anastasia is actually on tour right now with Lily Cubs as Anya. So if you want to see that, they are on tour. I know Dear Evan Hansen is actually out here in LA right now.
I need to go see Dear Evan. I love that soundtrack.
They're in LA.
Yeah, I love the music.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend seeing that in person. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to see it when it comes down to Orange County next year. I think they have a Costa Mesa room that starts in New Year's.
Okay.
But no, I love both of the Frozen. Like, I have a love-hate relationship with Frozen because when I was working at Disney, it came out and it literally was frozen nonstop all the time. So you're just like, make it stop.
Right.
But I love the Frozen Broadway adaptation because I feel it's the version that we deserve because it expands so much more than what the movie gave us. I like it a lot better than the movie.
Okay, well that's good to know because I felt like there was
Alexa to listen to that soundtrack.
Yeah.
I think she would like it because they both have more songs. So like new songs if you go through the cast recording for Frozen. Elsa has a new power ballad at the second act. It's called Monster. And it's her second act power ballad. And that was like one of the first songs that came out before the whole entire album was released. And if you listen to that one, it's like the most powerful thing that you'll hear. And then she is currently played by Casey Levi on Broadway, who is the principal Elsa. And then Patty Murin also has a new ballad. She has a softer ballad in the second act, and it's called True Love. And it kind of, she's talking about how, like, the whole Hans thing has affected them
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And Anna, I love Anna a lot more in the Broadway version. I'm sorry, I love Kristen Bell, but I cannot stand the Anna development.
Oh, really?
Like, I had so many problems. but yeah, no, highly recommend the Frozen soundtrack, even, like, everybody. The original cast, most of the original cast is still there. They did have to say goodbye to a couple of people recently, like the parents and things like that. But the main cast, Casey, Jelani, mm-hmm. Patty, and John, who is Hans, is still there.
Okay.
So, hopefully if you ever get to go back east, you can see that. It's doing really well, and I'm actually really glad they are because it's a gorgeous show. I had a friend who saw it when she came back. And she loved it, and it's just, like, visually stunning also.
I certainly wouldn't watch it any other method if I couldn't go back east, so.
Yeah.
I'll be sure to do that.
And then, for Anastasia, I also recommend the Broadway version. It is a little different than the movie, but that being said, Stephen and Lynn, who worked on the music for the movie, is in charge. They're the front runners for the Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a little bit worried about that, they are the head creative team behind the Anastasia Broadway adaptation. So they do have similar themes. There is a new character in the Broadway show that is goes by the name of Blood. He's kind of the one that is going after Anya and trying to get her to go back to Russia and things like that. And he's the one person that wants everything in order. You know, he's the revolutionary guy who's on the other side and is like kind of like, I wouldn't really call him a villain, but he's not a hero either. But it'll make sense when you go through the test recording if you can't see it in person. But his role was originated by Ramin Karimloo, who was in Les Mis.
Oh, I love him! Yes.
So if you hear the test recording, Bled's done by Ramin. He is currently done by Max von Essen right now. So if you see it on Broadway, you'll see Max. But if you go back and see the cast recording, you'll listen to Ramin. So it's a nice, I like it. Like at first, the ending kind of confused me a little bit, but now that I know it really well, it makes sense. So if you're surprised by the ending, hang out and just like go through it one more time and it'll make sense.
Okay, cool. I will be doing this then. Now I have new music to listen to, because, like, honestly, like, the latest new Broadway soundtracks that I listened to were probably, that I loved, were Dear Evan Hansen and Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. Like, that's how backed up I am.
Good choices, though.
Yes, thank you.
You can't go wrong with
right.
them.
I mean, I listened to the soundtrack of Mean Girls, but I did not like it, so I don't think that counts.
Speaking of Comet, mm-hmm. Natasha Benton, who is in Great Comet, is now Eliza on Broadway in Hamilton.
That's so cool. I like that, because Philippa previously Natasha? So.
Philippa was, Philippa Sue, is that who you're talking about?
Yes. She was Natasha at one point.
She was, I think so, probably.
Like in the pre-Broadway run of it. I believe she was so, and now, now they're switching. Well, not switching, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. So it's kind of like full circle.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I got you. lot of good shows on. We haven't had any real, like, new shows out. I mean, Mean Girls is still on Broadway. They're doing really well. Ashley Park was nominated for a Tony this past season when it made its debut. She didn't get it, but she was nominated. We have Beautiful on Broadway. Waitress is still doing very well.
I forgot. I love Waitress.
Waitress, if you haven't seen that or have gone through the cast recording of
I've definitely gone through the recording.
Sarah Bareilles. Amazing.
Yes, I totally forgot I went through that recording. I love Sarah Bareilles so much, and I love that story already. Like, I watched the movie with Carrie Russell, so uh-huh. I was excited when the show came out. So I listened to it as soon as possible.
But yeah, no, there's a lot of good things out there. Aladdin is doing very well still, so that's really exciting for both everybody going on over there. I'm trying to think what else has also been doing really well. It's what happens, like, when you follow so many things, they all just become after a while.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think, yeah, I don't know, it's still happening. Like, Broadway, there's still a lot of stuff going on. So if you haven't had a chance to go out there, and you did get a chance to go out there, try and see if you can, like, catch a little bit of everything. Because it's nice to see it in person when you can.
Yeah, for sure.
Instead of mope up here on the West Coast and follow everybody on social media.
Just watch all the videos. All right. Is that our story, Morning Glory?
Basically, yeah, but at least for November.
Yeah.
That's the little Broadway. If you saw the people that have left us. And then Leia Salonga left once on this island, I believe, last month.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, she's no longer there, but Once on This Island is also another show. Another Stephen and Lynn show that I will
recommend. All right. Well, thank you, dear. And thank you, listeners, for sticking with us through our various rants and hopes and dreams. So we will see you again next week, most likely with Valerie. And in the meantime, remember that you can check out our news, interviews, reviews, other things that end in oohs at withanaccent.com or withanaccent on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can also check out the podcast at Pop a la Carte on Twitter, iTunes, or Google Play. Thank you and farewell.
Bye.